Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
It's therapy time, third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point, but it doesn't mean you haven't been harboring a little frustration at something or someone, and it's time for you to release. Feel better going into the weekend. 615-737-1025, 737-1025 is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got a Burger Republic gift card, a $25 gift card on the line for the best. You just made the list. You know the drill. We do this every Friday at high noon. It is time for you to bring it. Who wants to start?
I'll bring it. I gave you a little tease going into it. The New York media, and I don't know the gentleman, I use the term loosely, gentleman, who asked the question, and I know, listen, Adam Gase is an easy target. The Jets are an easy target. National TV last night, everybody mocking the Jets. They stink, right? And they do it to themselves. It's not going well. It's obvious. But this question from this guy to Adam Gase in the postgame puts him on the list.
Okay.
What do you say to the people who don't want you to be the coach of the Jets after tonight? Now, you tell me.
That's a dumb question.
You tell me that that's a professional question to ask a coach right after he's lost and his team goes to 0-4.
Whatever you feel about it,
that's below the belt.
That's a dumb question.
That's below the belt, and it's horrendously worded. It's a joke that you would ask that question. That guy should have his media credential pulled for that stuff. That's just wrong.
I agree with you, Willie, but are you surprised?
And I'm not only putting that guy on the list, but I'm putting ESPN on the list for playing that clip, because it's kind of the gag. I've been watching, part of the routine of us doing the show from home, I just flip on the TV in the morning. So I see what Get Up is talking about. Mike Greenberg, that's part of the running shtick on his show. He's a lifelong Jets fan. He loves to make fun of the Jets. And they played that clip. Like, don't give the guy the satisfaction of playing his question on that. That's unprofessional, man. You don't. That makes the whole media look bad when you do that. So for that guy and for ESPN,
you just made the list.
I'm not an Adam Gase fan. I don't care about the Jets anymore. When I was a kid, I did, but that's just wrong, man. You don't do that.
No. But that's very good. By the way, that's why that question gets asked, because you know what? Just got a lot of airtime.
I know. And so now the guy feels good that he asked.
Sure.
He says he can tell everybody he got a ESPN.
Yep. Yeah, he thinks he did his job. He's like, yeah, huh?
Yeah,
nobody else
like
had the guts to ask that. I did. You just don't ask that question. What do you want him to say? What do you honestly want him to say? Do you want him to pull a T.O.? That's my team, man. Leave my team alone. That's my team. You support me and support them. It's your team. But what do you want him to do?
Right.
How do you think he's supposed to answer that? There's a lot of things that those jobs that they sign up for that they get paid really, really well for, you know, to deal with a lot of crap. Look, there's a lot of it that's, you know, you get what you sign up for. That's just not it. Like, it's going to play its way out no matter what. It doesn't mean that it can't be talked about on talk shows, right? It doesn't mean that it can't be written about. But what good does it do? What service do you get by asking the person that? What do you want them to say?
And if you're going to ask it professionally and not what do you say to the people who don't want you to be the coach? Like, in other words, I'm asking this question for all the yo-yo irrational fans out there that are so emotions are a 10 out of scale of 1 to 10 right now for everybody. It's just unprofessional.
Well, I'm not saying that they're wrong by believing that he should go. I'm just saying you don't ask the person
right.
that.
No, and you don't ask it that way.
No, I mean, we've all been in press conferences where, you know, coach, things aren't going well. Do you have any concern with what your future may hold or something like that?
Right.
That's completely.
Exactly. You can ask it that way.
Have you heard from ownership? Do you feel that there is real pressure on your job status? Has ownership or the front office told you anything about your job status?
Of course, the answer right after the game is probably no. You don't talk to the owner right after the game, but are you feeling pressure? You know, there's a way to ask that.
Yeah.
That's within the bounds. Even though I still am not a big fan of that, right after the game is over, the next day, for sure, you know, you can talk about, have you had any conversations? Do you feel secure? All of that is in bounds. But the way that guy asked it in that moment right after the game, no.
Well, I mean, sometimes there's just not a good time to ask it. I mean, Peter Laviolette was asked right after the Winter Classic, and yeah, maybe some people thought, why would you ask that now? It's a relevant question, and it stinks to have to be in that position to ask that, but it is a part of the job.
There's a way to ask it.
Right.
And when it was asked at the Winter Classic, there was carefulness into how to present it.
Absolutely.
And oh, by the way, it was the game of the year. You know, all hockey eyes were watching that game. New Year's Day, national television.
And you were up 2-0.
And right, you're up 2-0, and the team has been, you know, not good the first 3 months. So I understand that there were people that were upset with that question, but there were probably also a whole lot of people that were, you know, were happy to hear that question asked and to see how it would be answered. I
still don't like it right after the game. I mean, it's just not on the coach's mind. And it's trying to sort of entrap the coach in the moment of weakness to say something provocative.
Is it fair to say that's not on their mind? Are you telling me Adam Gase that wasn't on the back of his mind on that walk to the locker room before that press conference, his job status? Are you telling me Peter Laviolette never thought about, you know, what was going on, how this was going the wrong direction? I mean, I'm not signing up.
I think
for that.
They see the writing on the wall.
I think those coaches absolutely know what's going on around them, and they're trying to protect themselves, and I understand that. But to say that it's not going on in the back of their mind,
and
I don't know about that.
And I mean this, you know, respectfully, but Peter's been in that situation before. You know, Peter's been in the NHL for a long time. He knows what to expect. He got fired in Philadelphia 3 games in, so it's not like it was something new for him, and I'm sure that he, you know, he saw some signs, and it's like they weren't playing well. You got to make a change. So
I'm not a fan of it, but if you're going to do it professionally and not unprofessionally. Agreed. Like the guy last night for the Jets.
Agree.
Yep. Right. We're with you, Willie.
Here's who is on my list.
Willie, good stuff. Ready? Break.
Very
Chase.
Good stuff, Willie. Here's who is on my list. You guys are aware that we are in the month of October, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Yesterday.
Second day.
Yesterday was the first day.
Yes.
And I believe it was about 2 weeks ago, the mayor of Nashville announced that on October 1st, which begins the new month, we would enter phase 3. We talked about it on the show. We knew that it was phase 3. A lot of people had talked about, yes, finally there, phase 3 of reopening.
Oh, I feel a butt coming. There's a butt coming.
But there it is. I went in 2 different businesses yesterday. They had no idea that we were in phase 3, and therefore, there were some protocols that they were legally able to do that they weren't going to do because they had to wait for their manager to confirm that they were, in fact, in phase 3.
Did they not flip the thing on their calendar?
And I looked.
They still have like a paper calendar.
Phase 3 party, right? How could they not know?
They were like, I'm sorry, sir. We haven't gotten any memos on this. I'm like, the mayor's word is not good enough for you?
You didn't watch the press conference at all?
Like, you got to wait. On the
news at all?
You got to wait on some guy from corporate to tell you, oh, yes, yes, Nashville, Davidson County is, in fact,
in
phase three.
What happened? Like, what was the issue specifically?
I went to get a haircut at one of the places, and I got I've gotten haircuts throughout this. I've gotten, I guess yesterday was the third one that I've gotten through this whole thing, but I wanted a beard trim. They couldn't do that until phase three. And so I was
know they could do that. Like, this is their business, right?
Before anyone jumps on me. Yes, I know I can do it myself. Yes, I have done it myself, but quite frankly, they do a better job of it than I do. And I wanted it professionally done. So
you want a professional job,
right? I wanted to look clean cut and everything.
Wait a minute. What's going on this weekend, Chase?
Nothing. I just
trim nothing.
I absolutely nothing.
No, sure. We got it no date like or nothing.
You're coming out of retirement.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing. Got
so
nothing.
Just for Sawyer.
Just for Sawyer.
Huh.
Just wanted to,
Willie,
just wanted
I smell,
to look better.
Willie, I smell something. There's,
I thought there was
something
an occasion.
Something doesn't smell right.
There
it's
was
not
an occasion.
Passing the smell test. Yeah, it really isn't.
So, I mean, the person that cut my hair was very nice and was like, yeah, we're totally in phase three. And the manager on duty was like, well, I got to check. I got to make sure that that's right. And I'm like, the mayor said
it! Why are you the manager of a place if you don't know your business is in phase three and you can do certain things now?
Right.
Wait, wow. did Mayor Cooper, though, say that beard trims are part of phase three?
It's
is that in the fine print or is that a headline?
It's beard trim.
That is what I was told by this establishment the last time that I went in there of,
okay,
when we get to phase three, we can do the beard trim. And they wouldn't do it because they couldn't confirm if we were, in fact, in phase three, even though it's everywhere that we are in phase three.
Okay.
So you just made the list. So
you just made the list.
Nothing going on.
Did
Chase?
You get the trim?
Nothing.
Did you get the trim?
I had to do it myself.
What?
I did the beard trim when I got home.
Wait a minute. Why didn't they didn't confirm it?
No. They said, come back Monday. I'm like, I'm not going to come back Monday.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh.
How does the trim look? Did you feel like you did a good job on yourself?
It looks good. I mean,
so you're mad, but you're not mad enough to name them.
I'm not.
Okay.
It's good to be a guy. If that gives you a hint.
Okay. I should be last for a reason because I kind of let the cat out of the bag yesterday, and I apologize that I'm kind of bringing up. But, you know, it was something quick and at the very end. And if you didn't hear it, then this will be new. But, I mean, I've got to put – and go back to Pittsburgh Steelers tight end Eric Ebron. I mean, I have to put him on the list for his tweet yesterday that says, I'm confused on how this became our problem. This is a Titans problem. My son's birthday party was on a bye week, which was supposed to be week 8. Now I'm missing his birthday, and bad enough, I don't even see my kids. Blank sucks. Eric.
You just made the list.
How do we get so out of touch with reality? You're really complaining about your bye week? You should be lucky you have a season and you're still getting your millions of dollars this year. Oh, by the way, there's millions of people that lost their jobs. They've had to take pay cuts and furloughs. And they've lost their businesses. And you're complaining about your kid's birthday. By the way, you should be glad you're not playing this game so you can keep your family safe. Okay? You know, you don't want to be taking anything home to them. Eric Ebron, get in touch with reality. Come on. Be better than that tweet. Be better than that. That's all I've got. All right, we ready to take some phone calls?
Nope.
Ready.
we need your participation.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah.
Willie. Give the speech. Come on, let's get this thing
going. Got a couple
going.
Of texts, but...
Let's get this
well,
going.
A text.
All right. Well, it's Friday, and I want this to be part of your routine. All right, your Friday routine needs to be every week, Silly Underdogs, Pick 6, and the list. You got a chance to win prizes.
Yep.
You got nice prizes. We can hook you up, but only if you participate. We need you to help make our show better. And we know you can do it. I know you're very entertained by Chase's beard trim saga and all the other things we put on the list over time, but you can add to this.
Yeah,
I know
if you don't call, Darren's going to keep asking me what I got going on this weekend. So
your shirt's not Chase's, right? He's going to keep prying Chase into Chase's personal life. Yes. So we want your participation. 615-737-1025. You can take the low-hanging fruit. You can go after the Jets. You can go after the Steeler fans. There's any number of things that you can do. Jump on in. Participate, share, and let's have fun together. All and right. Then you can tell the story over the weekend. Hey, you know what? I called Darren, Willie, and Chase. I had fun with them. I called, and then I won. You know, you can have a great story, and you can take your buddies.
What's
the prize? The Burger Republic.
Yeah, it's a great place to eat.
It's a great place to eat. 737-1025.
We're going to come back. You're going to have the lines loaded up, and we're going to take your calls on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. All right, let's get your phone calls. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who or what is on your list? That's what we want to know from you. Burger Republic gift card.
Go for the burgers.
$25 is at stake.
Go for the burgers.
It's good. It's good stuff. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, get us started. Who or what
Hi,
is
guys.
On your list? Hello.
Hi. Well, I have a couple of them, just and they're real quick. The first one is, Chase, get over it, man. Just do your beard.
I knew somebody was going to say something.
Just this, if we're going to yell at the Pittsburgh Steeler guy for yelling about a birthday party, do your beard, Chase. Just
I did it.
Beard.
I did. It looks
you
fine.
You just made the list.
Chase, you be you, man.
I will. Thank you.
The other one, and it's just, real quick, my favorite sports talk radio show is on from 10 to 2 in the afternoon every day on 102.5 The Game. But you guys are on my list for not celebrating with me for my Houston Astros.
I knew that was coming.
You've made the list, all three of you.
Where's my trash can?
Can you believe, Kathy,
you
we picked
list.
A team that has now lost 18 consecutive playoff games? How pathetic are we?
Pathetic. Jeez. Hate is going to hate. I know it.
Kathy, have you found any other Astros fans in Nashville in your circles over time? I mean, you're like the flag-carrying Astros fan and have been for a long, long time.
Yes.
Like, even when they were horrible,
yep.
You were the flag-carrying Astros fan. Now they're good, and now, of course, they're the villains for obvious reasons. I mean, have you found any people you can celebrate with?
Well, I don't know about celebrate with, but when Altuve was doing rehab and he came and played the Sounds because they're the Texas Rangers now, minor league. There were a lot of Astros fans there, a lot there, and that was 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of Houston Astros fans in Nashville. I just don't know where they are.
Hey, Kathy, hit up Ryan Porth. He loves your manager Dusty Baker.
He
absolutely
does.
Loves him.
Got to love Dusty Baker. You have
no, well, not according Baker. To Ryan Porth. He wasn't good enough for Cincinnati. He needed to go. He wasn't good enough.
Well, maybe if Cincinnati had it, maybe Cincinnati wouldn't be sitting at home now.
Maybe they score a run.
I've told him that many times, Kathy.
You guys have a good day. I love
all
the
right,
show.
You too. Thank you. That, just so you know, all the Ryan Porth and Dusty Baker comments, that is an inside joke. That I've been hammering him hard, and we now as a group hammer him hard about, you know, at the time he said that Dusty had to go in Cincinnati. He was not good enough, and he was not going to take them anywhere.
And how many managers have they had since Dusty?
And how much success have they had since Dusty?
Yeah. How many runs did they score against the Braves? Yeah.
How many 96 win seasons, regular seasons, have they had since Dusty?
Exactly.
So we like to have fun at the expense of Ryan Porth because he told us the standard was way too low. Dusty Baker was way too low of a standard for the Cincinnati Reds. And so we've reminded him of that many, many times over the years. We like to have fun. All right, let's go to Ben. Ben, you're up next. Who or what is on your list?
I tell you what, I got three big things making the list today.
Okay. All right.
Three.
Okay.
All right.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Stupid Spirit Halloween store.
Okay.
All right. They just made the list. How are you going to have a sign on the front of your entrance that says anybody who enters has to wear a mask? And then you're letting every jabroni and their brother come in without a mask. And when I ask you, so are you guys just not enforcing this thing? Your answer is, well, the manager doesn't want to confront anybody. Well, then why do you have the sign that says you have to wear a mask? Spirit Halloween Star, you just made the list.
You just made the list.
People should feel comfortable wearing a mask in a Halloween store.
I know.
Right. Absolutely. That's the irony.
Ben is ringing. Can you top that, now, Ben? You're using that as that, number
there's
one.
There's more?
There's more. There's
okay.
more.
Hold
number
on.
Number two.
Hold on.
Number
Elijah.
Two.
There we go.
Okay. Now we're ready.
Number two. President Trump and all of his supporters, and I'm talking to the guys that go out hunting, covered in deer piss, with their face covered for 12 hours hunting deer, and you guys don't want to wear a mask. President Trump now has COVID and his wife. President Trump and all the non-mask wanting to wear supporters that are out there, you just made the list, number one, because you as the leader of our country, you should be able to wear a mask and lead your country to a better, healthy state. And you are not wanting to do it. You just made the list.
Okay.
You just made the list.
All right. You're on a roll.
Number three.
Number three. The city of friggin' Nashville and anybody who's listening to 102.5 The Game, and you're not calling in here on Friday when you know that we're doing all of this stuff, and you just made the list, is one of the top things that I love to listen to, and you guys aren't calling in, blowing up these phone lines, all of you just made the list.
You just made the list.
I can't even win. I can't even win today. And I still called in to support my guys because I want to hear this show every day from 10 to 2 because they are the best GD show in town. I'm out.
Well done, Ben.
I got to be honest. I really hope that we never have another Friday without Ben calling in for you.
That was good.
He was bringing it.
He brought it.
I've never been more motivated.
Yeah, next week, forget me giving the speech. Next time, just play the recording of that.
Yeah, that's a promo. That was good.
My goodness, that was passion, folks. Crispy is smiling somewhere. He's probably in Calgary smiling right now listening to that. Okay, Barrett, who or what is on your list?
Hey, gentlemen. Look, you're not going to like this, and I don't care.
Okay.
The Houston Oilers are on the stinking list.
I knew that was coming.
You just made the list.
32 teams out here, and every one of them are doing the right thing but one. And it's got to be them. And you don't feel sorry for them, and you don't make excuses for them. Somebody screwed up somewhere. They're not even telling you which staff members it is because he's not legally required to do so. And you think at some point public health and safety would trump the gamesmanship from this guy, Vrabel. And, you know, it's worse and worse, and it's more every day. They're screwing up my team's schedule. They're screwing up other teams' schedule. They're putting the Vikings at risk. They don't deserve any break whatsoever. They were sloppy. They messed around, and they didn't do it right, and they've ruined it for everybody. So you're on the list, Oilers.
You just made the list.
Death.
Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
You
too. Love y'all.
Death,
thanks, Barrett.
Taxes, and Barrett ripping on the Oilers / Titans. That's just the way it goes on this show. Thank you, Barrett, as always.
We have a text. Elijah, get the bell ready. Stillman for using the word anywho all the time. No man should use that word.
All right. Good participation. Well done. We'll come back. Peter Burns, next. Hey. Well done on You Just Made the List. I always get so fired up when we do that. We get good participation. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of ESPN SEC Network, Peter Burns on the line with us. Peter, how you doing?
What's up, boys? I was thinking about it. That's Power from Kanye, which I think last week I said, I was like, hey, if I'm going to have a song like to get you, you know, ready for the weekend, I feel like that was like, I just go back in the days of Johnny Manziel walking out before A&M versus Alabama, and I'm like, that gets me going. And so on our morning show this morning, I started thinking about, well, maybe, you know, we played Jock Jan songs one time. I was like, what about Jock Jan's Volume 2? Not a very good soundtrack, I'll be honest with you. Jock Jams 1, very good. Jock Jams 2, not so much.
You know, rarely do the sequels work, Peter. You know,
That's just true.
The first one, usually if the first is really good, the second doesn't have much of a chance.
Caddyshack, Caddyshack 2. I'm sure Titanic 2 is going to suck if it ever comes out. You know, the sequel.
Titanic 2, Major League 2, just wasn't the
right.
same.
Right.
So what did you make
of Ghostbusters 2? Sorry.
Yeah, we can, look, we don't have enough time to go through all the failed sequels. I mean, it's bad. It's a long, long list. So we were talking, obviously, in this market, as you can imagine, and I brought this up. We had Paul Feinbaum on yesterday, and Titans-Steelers game has been postponed. It's been moved to week 7. And the NFL went 3 weeks, as you know, without anything like this. And so it took until week 4. College football has dealt with this every single week. Now that the SEC is getting ramped up and we're going into the second week of their conference schedule and their season, when do you think it's – right? It's not if, it's when. When do you think this is going to hit the conference?
Well, I mean, you know, it has. I mean, the thing is
– true.
It has not gotten to the point where it has – caused a cancellation of games. In fact, I had Commissioner Greg Sankey on my show today and this morning, and he said, listen, we were the only conference, you know, when we started on 9/26, we're the only conference so far that was able to play a full week one slate with every single one of the members that were scheduled to play. And so, you know, I think that part of it is that they have been dealing with this, just not in math numbers all at the same time. And, you know, with roster size of the NFL of them doing daily testing, you know, two or three tests here means a whole lot different than if you're talking about seven guys that may have got it back in July and had to quarantine, or just like how Tennessee, you know, I mean, hell, Vols were down, what, you know, 40-some-odd players through the contact tracing a couple of weeks ago. And so they have had to deal with this, but really not in game fashion yet.
You know, we went down to Baton Rouge last hour to learn a little bit more about LSU, and we know they, you know, they garnered a lot of attention after Saturday's lost to Mississippi State, and now they're coming here to take on Vanderbilt. And basically what Matt Muscana told us is that, you know, in past, if it wasn't for the unbelievable season last year, it would have been fire and brimstone, you know, all week. Because I asked him, like, how the show's been this week down there. I mean, how bad has it been after what they gave up on defense and, you know, this and that? And he said, typically, you know, it would have been a mess, but – he kind of described to us, Peter, that the fan base, dare I say, is still kind of living off the high of last season, and it wasn't anywhere near the levels that they've seen in the past. Are you surprised by that?
No, because I'm one of those guys, right? Like, take off the SEC Network hat. I'm born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I mean, my parents went to school with Pistol Pete Maravich. I'm looking at an LSU helmet in my shirt in my office right now. I'm that guy, and I'm like, I'm still punch drunk on 15-0 and having a Heisman Trophy winner and a quarterback that can actually make a forward pass. So, like, nothing's going to kill my vibe this year. But it's a one-year-only deal. Like, I always used to say that when I covered the Spurs in San Antonio. Like, you win a championship, the next year is a gravy year. Like, of course you want to go back-to-back, and you might get a little upset, but you're not, like, throw the remote, curse, you know, want to kick your neighbor's dog mad, at least for another year. So you combine that with everything that's going on with the pandemic and the fact that Derek Stingley Jr., the second, the quarterback, was out in week one. Now, that changes, of course, if you go out there and you lay an absolute egg against Vanderbilt and you lose that game. I mean, trust me, the honeymoon, you know, ends a lot quicker than expected. But I think LSU is going to be in a better spot. I don't think a lot of people understood what Derek Stingley Jr. meant to that team, not on the field, but like off the field. And I think that really hurt LSU yesterday and or last week Mike Leach's air raid offense.
Okay, so with that being said, you've got Auburn and Georgia this week. That's fantastic. We just talked about Mississippi State's big win. Let's take Alabama out of the equation. So many years it's always been like, okay, if it's not Alabama, it's LSU's year. Or if it's not LSU second after Alabama, then it's Auburn's year. Okay, I ask you, take Alabama out of the equation this year in the West. Who's two in your mind?
Well, I mean, we'll find out this weekend, but it's hard to say that it's not either, you know, it's hard to say that it's not Auburn right now. I mean, I went back and watched week one, guys, and really went through again. I only saw one team that I thought was elite from the time they got off the bus to the time the game ended, and that was Alabama. Like, they were in a class of their own because I thought Georgia had issues, Florida had issues, A&M had a boatload of issues. And, of course, we saw what happened with LSU. And even Auburn, I'll tell you what, Kentucky was playing them perfectly until a kind of a bonehead call on the goal line that changed the dynamic of that game right before halftime. I'm not sure that had they not scored there, even if it's just a field goal, they get the ball in the second half and Kentucky doesn't end up winning that game. So I'm not sure right now through week one I can say any team is close to the level that Alabama is right now.
Peter Burns is with us from ESPN, SEC Network, going around the league here. So, Peter, let's continue and give us your thoughts on Georgia. And should they be worried a little bit? Or do you think they'll get the quarterback thing figured out and they'll start looking a lot better?
Yeah, I mean, I go back and look at for Georgia, I think of what Rhett Lashley. Remember Rhett Lashley, the former offensive coordinator at Auburn when they had it rolling, and now he's the offensive coordinator at Miami. And I watched Miami week one. I thought, I was kind of sold a bill of goods that Lashley was going to be great and that De'Aaron King was going to be the next coming. And I'm like, all right, they're okay. They're kind of clunky. And then by week two and by week three, they are just absolutely rolling people. And so I think that's a little bit of what I think happens with Georgia right now. Todd Monken's still trying to put his whole brand new offenses. They're trying to figure out what the hell is going on in the quarterback position. But when it comes down to it, Georgia plays extremely good defense, guys. And as good as we thought they were winning games with their defense last year, this defense might be twice as good. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, I'm not really too concerned. That's why I'd probably start Stetson Bennett this week, the walk-on kid that entered the game last week for Arkansas, because I don't think you need to, you know, out Alabama or LSU last year a team right now. I think it's survive and advance. And I think that they could do that against Auburn, just playing good, solid ball control and defense. It's not sexy, but a win's a win in the SEC.
So I think we're all curious, having watched Texas A&M and Vanderbilt, everybody kind of pleasantly surprised with a lot of the unknowns that Vanderbilt was bringing to the table, at least for 1 week. Texas A&M couldn't feel too good about that, and now playing against Alabama. So, Peter, in your mind, where's the balance between struggles of Texas A&M and pleasant surprise of Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I think it's in between. I think it's a little bit of both, right? You know, everybody wants to say, oh, it's all about this or all about that. I think it's a little bit of, I was impressed with what Ken Seals could do. I mean, hell, a true freshman going into Kyle Field. And yeah, I know there wasn't 90 or 115,000, but still, I thought he showed some quarterback play and some moxie out of a freshman, freshman making that start. But honestly, this was a year that it was all about Texas A&M, right? I mean, this was what Jimbo Fisher has been kind of selling. We're going to play a bunch of young guys. We're ready for it. And they didn't look the part. And Kellen Mond just looked lost out there. And mind you guys, this was without Demetri Moore playing. And, you know, and there were several Vandy, as you guys know better than I do, hell, I don't have to tell you, Vandy was a little short-staffed as well, and yet A&M couldn't impose their will on them. So I'm wondering if that, you know, not having Jamon Osborne, who was their star wide receiver, opt out, if that doesn't play a bigger role into A&M. I mean, do you feel buzz around this game at all?
Not really.
No.
It's weird, right? I mean, I feel like even when Sumlin had it rolling and they were 5-0, and of course going back to Manziel days, but even the last couple of years I felt like, all right, A&M Alabama, there's a little juice to this game. I have felt zero about this game. And that doesn't bode well for the Aggies as they're coming into this, you know, hey, it's time to poop or get off the pot of your Jimbo Fisher and results.
Peter Burns is with us from the SEC Network and ESPN. So how do you feel about a 1-0 Tennessee team after the win over South Carolina and now taking on a not very good Missouri team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the schedule sets up well for Jeremy Pruitt, right? You get this, and I think you get a winnable opponent, and you get them at home. And, of course, you get the big news that Cade Mays comes back. So I feel better. I mean, there was nothing about the play against South Carolina that I thought, okay, this has already kind of flipped the switch a little bit. But I don't think I was expecting too many teams to kind of have that week one. I kind of felt it was a let's figure out what the hell we have. I mean, what, 1 of 11 on third downs, and they still got the victory? So you look at that and go, there's a lot to clean up, and that's what coaches love. I guarantee you, Pruitt will tell you this, anytime that you've got a win, but you've got enough film on Mondays and Tuesdays to just rip the guys to shreds is a good thing, and you still get the W. So I think they'll be able to show something. I'm curious to see how they use Cade Mays now that he's eligible and if that really helps the rushing game and buy Garantano a little bit more time.
Yeah, I know it's weird to think that we're only 1 week in, and here we are the 1st of October, so I don't really know how much you can tell after 1 week. But of the teams, and you kind of hinted earlier, it's Alabama, then who's behind Alabama. But when you look at a team that maybe they're predicted not to do a whole lot, did you see anything out of week one to tell you that, all right, maybe they're going to play spoiler, whether it's even though Ole Miss is 0-1, can the Lane train get something going this week against Kentucky? But how would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the two schools in Mississippi, right? I mean, it's obviously Mississippi State with what they did in Baton Rouge, the fact that KJ Costello passed for 600 yards. But I mean, that's the headline. I think the bigger thing is how physical Mississippi State's defense looked. I mean, they absolutely just ravaged the offensive line for LSU, and that's why Brennan struggled so much. So I was impressed with that. And I think the thing with Lane is kind of what we saw over the last couple of years. They're just going to be a pain. Like, you can't just roll in. Like, you're expect the W is like, as if they can get something figured out defensively, they'll be all right. But offensively, man, Matt Corral and the play calling looked incredible. So I still think now, before the year, and this is just week one, before the year I thought that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss were going to be the harder out because there was more talent. I absolutely have changed my opinion that it's Mike Leach, simply because of not only the offense, I knew the offense would look good, but more importantly, I think the defense a lot more physical than I expected.
We do a segment on this show called Silly Underdog Picks where you have to pick an underdog to win outright. So last week I went Kentucky. I felt really good about it. I was like, all right, maybe they're not the same Kentucky that they have been the last few years, but Auburn, who knows? It's the first week. And then I watched that game and it was, you know, I mean, Auburn did what they needed to do to win, but I think it was more some of the mistakes, coaching mistakes that Kentucky made that I just sit there and I go, are they going back? Are they going back to same old Kentucky where you can put them on the schedule and go, probably going to get that win? Again, 1 week, but what did you see from Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a team that was as good as Auburn, frankly, and that's why I'm really intrigued with the Kentucky-Ole Miss matchup this week because I thought they could go toe-to-toe, and I think Auburn's a pretty good team. The problem is that uncharacteristically, Eddie Grand just didn't call what I thought he would call. And normally he's been a genius. Remember last year with Limbo Jr., I mean, the play calling and design was incredible, and yet they continue to struggle with just kind of simple reads. I think the offensive line is still good, and they're going to be a problem. I mean, that's a team that doesn't fit well against the eyes of a Georgia, right? Like, when you want to be able to run the ball, I think they're going to be able to stop the run pretty well. They did against Auburn, and they're going to be able to run the ball fairly well also. But the difference is can they be elite? I don't think so. Again, the only team I can see being elite right now is Florida's if they fix their defense a little bit. And then, I mean, Alabama just looked like it was wash, rinse, repeat. They looked pissed off from the time they got off the bus, and it was a difference maker.
All right, let's end with this, Peter, so with your LSU background. The best LSU coach ever was whom? LSU coach.
LSU coach. Hard to not say Skip Bertman. And I was just saying that because I'm going baseball on you, if you could appreciate that. I think that's the best coach. As far as talking LSU football coach?
How about football, yeah.
Yeah, football coach. Gosh, it's after last year. I don't know how you don't say to Ogeron, and I know that's early. Is I had so many people last year go, man, if this is what happened with Ogeron, like how much talent did we miss out in the Les Miles days? So no, I mean it's still Saban. I always forget because I'm married to an Alabama Crimson Tide fan that I'm always thinking Saban's an Alabama guy. So it goes Saban one, I'll go Ogeron two, Miles three.
Isn't that so? I thought there was a chance. You might say Orgeron just because of last year, and isn't that amazing? Considering you know what, we weren't even sure if he was even going to make it, and look at that. I mean, unbelievable.
Because you put the ghost of beating Alabama, you put the ghost of not having a Heisman Trophy candidate, you put the ghost away of having an offense. You did it, and that's why I'm curious about this week and bringing it full circle to Vanderbilt. Is that traditionally when you've lost a game, if you're LSU? Under Ogeron, you've responded extremely well the next week. There hasn't been this any kind of lull where the team kind of quits on Ogeron. And so that's why I think this is one of the more intriguing matchups that I didn't think before the season started when we got the new schedule that I was going to circle a game as far as interest level. Vanderbilt, LSU damn sure has my attention, which is saying something a week two.
No doubt. Peter, always enjoy the visits. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you down the road.
Later, boys.
All right, Peter Burns, SEC Network. Always good chats with him. Back to wrap up the third hour next. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, coming up to kick off the final hour. And then following Lee Sterling, pick six time. I know we won't have to give a speech for you for pick six. The participation has been there. Remember, this year when you call in, you get two top shelves. You can still play along on online at thegamenashville.com, but you'll only get one top shelf. You call in the next hour, you'll get two. So you increase your odds with two top shelf picks. So we've got another loaded hour for you here on this Friday afternoon. Good stuff from Peter Burns. Pass along that the Titans-Steelers game, as we know, has not going to take place this weekend. It's been moved officially now to Week 7. Steelers-Ravens will be in Week 8. Titans-Steelers here will be October 25th in Week 7. We're still waiting word on any more names. Yesterday it was Christian Fulton. We know there's two more positive tests, and I've seen nothing from the Titans on that front as we sit here at almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, we think we know there's two more Titans. It's been reported.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
But it's been unnamed sources, I guess. It's been reported by the AP and others. But
do you feel, since they haven't said anything, that maybe this is, I guess, bad info?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. So. But it's just interesting that there hasn't been anything from the Titans, not even an announcement that there will be no media availability or anything, you know, no communication from the team one way or the other. So I'm curious about that. If there are two more, eventually we'll know, right? So it's not like there's any pressing need to have to acknowledge it any time up until now, but I think we're all curious.
Yeah, and I wonder if they'll, because yesterday when they sent out a media schedule, it had TBA by Friday, and that's the last communication on Friday. And then, you know, you wonder if this afternoon they'll do the transaction report like they usually do, and that's where they will confirm or deny if there are two more names. But
now that the game has been moved, which is now Week 7, right, as a lot of people speculated before, it's now official that the game will be played on Week 7. Now that they're on a bye week, I guess they're not obligated to do any communication with the media. So maybe that's the route that they're choosing.
Well, if there's any kind of roster move, they have to, but they don't have to have like a press conference or anything.
But I guess the fact that, I mean, if it is in fact true that two more positive tests have come up, I don't know that they have to make the roster move today with those players, right? Or I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I don't know. I mean,
I would think they'd have to be put on the COVID list immediately.
It just comes down to, you know, how quick do they want to communicate? I think we're all concerned, we're all curious, and we're all hoping for the best here. And we do know that they're testing. They're not going anywhere. It's not like everybody's going on vacation.
they're testing everybody as they continue to go through the process here.
You got a little Jets trivia for us?
Is that in light of last night and the Jets losing and all the speculation that Adam Gase will be canned eventually, who knows? We pointed out earlier that the Jets have not actually fired a coach midseason since 1975. And then the following year, Lou Holtz quit after 13 weeks. So he quit with one game left in the season. I was just looking that up, and then I found a couple other quick notes. Here's a quick question here. Jets coaching history. Interesting things. Who was the only coach to lead the Jets to the playoffs more than twice?
Lead them to the playoffs more than twice.
It is a checkered past.
That's
of
actually
Jets
happened. Well, I guess Rex Ryan. He did. He went to back-to-back championships.
But he's saying more than twice.
More than twice.
Oh, and that was it.
It could be your answer. Are you sticking with it? You could go with Rex Ryan.
He was there for probably what, 5-6 years. He did it the first 2 years. No, Herm wasn't there long enough to do that. He was probably there less than Rex or about the same time.
There's only one coach in Jets history to lead them to the playoffs more than twice.
More than twice. I'll stick with Rex Ryan. He got out of the gates hot, maybe found one other time after the first 2 years, so I'll go Rex Ryan.
Nope.
Damn!
I'm trying to Parcells.
Nope. Can
Parcells
you believe that?
Wasn't there that
yeah,
long?
Yeah, he wasn't. You're right.
He was there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it Herm?
Made it to it is Herm.
Is it Herm?
Herm Edwards made it 3 times.
Really?
Yes.
He wasn't there that long. How many years was he
that's
there?
That's why I thought it was interesting. He was there for 5 years, and he coached 5 playoff games. They made it 3 times.
Wow.
You play to win the game.
Thank you, Herm.
Wow.
It's incredible. I mean, they've had a lot of coaches. Now, here's the real kicker. You really have to know your Jets to know this, but this will give you the big picture of the Jets. Who was the only coach of the Jets to coach for more than 2 seasons without making the playoffs and obviously keep his job? They have an itchy trigger finger. It's just not during the season. There's only one coach that has made it more than 2 seasons without making the playoffs.
Oh, it would probably be, because I don't think he made it, was the guy, the defensive coordinator before Gase, Todd Bowles.
Oh, Todd Bowles.
That's right.
They never made it to the playoffs.
Todd Bowles is right. He made it four years without making the playoffs. No other coach made it more than 2 without making the playoffs. Well, Eric tough. Mangini actually made the playoffs 1 year. He was there for 3 years.
Nobody remembers.
Yeah.
Mangini in the playoffs.
Yes. And then finally, there's only one Jets coach that has more than 2 postseason wins. There are a bunch of coaches that have 2 Jet postseason wins. There's only one that has more than 2.
That has more than what?
More than 2 postseason wins.
That's got to be Rex, right?
Yeah.
Rex Ryan.
It's got to be.
But I'm looking at this. This can't be right.
Because he went to the title game or the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row.
Unbelievable. He has 4 postseason wins. No other coach has more than 2.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, Weeb Eubank won a Super Bowl. Herm had 2. Weeb Eubank won the Super Bowl. He only had 2. Walt Michaels was there for 6 years and only won 2.
By the way, if you really think about it, none of their coaches have ever been there very long, right? They have
no history of
coaches last.
So, isn't it incredible that
it's like 5 years? Is that is about, you know, that's about equivalent of 20 years.
They canned Pete Carroll after 1 year, and 6.
I
and
forgot
10.
He was there.
Pete Carroll was there for 1 year, and they canned him.
What was that, in the mid '90s?
'94.
94.
So was that before? So that was before he went to the Patriots, right?
Yes.
Yep.
In fact, he took over the Patriots.
He went to the Patriots after that gig.
Yep. Right. And then, is that right? No, he was between Parcells and Belichick, wasn't he? No. That's right. So Belichick took over.
No, he was before those guys.
He was before like those.
Belichick replaced Pete Carroll.
Those guys were at the end of the 90s, right? Those were late 90s. He was mid-90s.
Yeah, Pete went to New England 97 to 99 and then took a year off and went to USC.
So he was between Parcells and Carroll, right? So Carroll went to – he followed Parcells with the
Guys,
Patriots.
I hate to break up all this incredible Jets talk, but we must move along.
We must.
We must come back with
Jet Lee
Sterling.
Coaching history.
Paramount Sports. I don't know if anybody feels any smarter after that, but we did learn a little bit more about a failing franchise.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Lee Sterling next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.